Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, March 5th. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that, you know, is waking up pretty happy. That was a better game. I won't say much better, but that was a better game from the Flyers last night.
Yeah, I honestly, what a comeback. I'm so happy for them.
I love Claude Giroux. I love him. And if you, hopefully you love the captain too. And if you do, make sure you're following us on Twitter, because that's where we show all of our love to the captain and keep up to date with everything going on with the Flyers. So you can reach us at Locked On Flyers, or if you don't have Twitter, you can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
And today we are going to recap last night's game versus the Pens and look to what we would like to see the Flyers improve upon this weekend, where they face the Penguins and the Capitals. And then, of course, it's Friday, so we'll wrap up with the little bit of gritty content we got this week. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are listening. So make sure you subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Rachel, so to start last night's game, there wasn't a ton of pregame notes. We found out a little bit before the game started that Joel Farabee would be out, and he was put on the COVID protocol list. So fingers crossed, this is just contact tracing and nothing serious, because I don't want to go through another COVID protocol list for the Flyers. I really don't. I know they don't, but like, I truly don't.
Yeah, it was a hell of a bomb to drop, because I was just like, oh, we got through this. I thought we were done for now. And then to have Crosby come back, it was just felt like a double blow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about it. Crosby was able to come back off of the Penguins COVID protocol list, as well as their coach, Todd Reirden. So AV going into last night's game switched up the lines a good amount. So he had JVR with Kutz and Voracek, Lawton with Hayes and TK, Lindblom with Giroux and NAK, and then Bunneman, Patrick, and Raffel. On defense, Provy and Braun were put together, Sanheim and Myers, and Haig and Ghost. So third game in a row that Gustafsson is scratched. And then, of course, Elliott starts in net. So before we get into the game, Rachel, what did you think of these lines?
Considering that it was a last-minute thing with Joel Farabee, I didn't hate it. I think that it was a good thing to try out. And it took them, obviously, a little bit to get going with them. But once they did, it felt like, to me, it has been a long time since I felt the presence of all four lines in one game. And I felt like each line in this game, whether they scored or not, at least had moments where I felt like they were putting on a decent amount of pressure, had good zone time, had decent chances, and it just felt good to have all four lines be involved.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that sense. I don't know if I would say it's due to the shakeup of the lines. I think that's just the fact that we have a good amount of players back in the lineup, so we're able to roll four lines and the depth is there. But it was just a big shakeup, even just not having Joel Farabee. I mean, all the lines were scrambled, and especially the defensive pairings. I'm not a big fan of Provy and Braun together. And then I really don't like Hagen Ghost together, but I understand reasons why you would want to split Ghost and Provy. But it was just a big shakeup for me. And then, of course, like I said, Elliott starts in net. Rachel, it seems like Amy truly goes against what you say.
You know, I have accepted the fact that AV and I would be very different coaches for the Flyers and make very different choices, but I do understand, like I've said, what he's doing and why, because he communicates it. Mm-hmm. But I just disagree with that methodology. And I think that's okay to disagree with him. But yeah, definitely would have put Hart in, but you know.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you in the sense that it's, you know, I understand why he's doing it. Thankfully, he does communicate with the players and with the media. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of expected to see Elliott in that, if I'm being honest. Let's like touch on the ugly parts of the game and then we'll get to a lot of the good. So thankfully, a lot of the ugly part happened pretty early on in the first period. It was pretty rough for the Flyers. I mean, they gave up 3 goals in 71 seconds, less than 4 minutes into the game. Just not a start that you would kind of want. I mean, some of it was just bad luck, like one of the goals going off of Sanheim's glove. The other is just getting caught and the Pens going another way on a 2-on-1. And then, of course, because it's the Flyers and the Penguins, Mark Friedman scored his first NHL goal. And it was against the team that drafted him.
This was kind of a roller coaster for Friedman in this game.
Yeah.
I certainly hope he's okay after taking that hit, but getting a goal, not too bad either.
Yeah. You know, I was happy for him that he did score. I mean, it's got to feel good for him. And, you know, I definitely don't think the Flyers, like, wanted him to get picked up. So it's kind of a little bit bittersweet, but I know that probably felt good for him. But yeah, you talked about that hit. And I mean, there were two moments where Friedman and Patrick kind of got into it. One along the boards, was just like a bad hit, in my opinion, from Nolan Patrick. And then the second one was Friedman kind of going after Patrick, which you kind of understand why he did. But then like he took the brunt of the hit. So definitely feel bad for Friedman on that. I mean, Nolan Patrick's huge. If I was Mark Friedman,
you don't
size,
think
I
about it all the
yeah,
time.
Like,
but he
I
is.
Would, yeah, he is. Like, I would not go against Nolan Patrick. Like, I remember way back when we were able to go to like a ton of events, and I saw Nolan Patrick at the Flyers Wives Carnival. He's huge, and I think he was like his second year or his first year, and so. Yeah, if I were Friedman, I would not do that again. But like you said, hopefully he's okay. But kind of after that ugly 4 minutes, I felt like the Flyers were able to kind of get their groove on. Like they were able, not get their groove on, Jesus. They were able to find their rhythm. And you could see them getting really good chances. Like Couturier off of a JVR feed, Voracek off the post or off of a Pens turnover, and then Konechny had 2 post chances, and it was kind of like back to back. And then you saw the Flyers break through with a power play goal from Couturier. At that point in the game, I was just like, it's so glaringly obvious that Couturier is the best player on the team. Like, he truly, just anytime you really need someone to step up, he's always going to be there for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, Couturier got real mad after that third Pens goal.
Understandably so. I was too.
Yeah. After that point, I just felt like he was not going to let this game get away from them. And between his attitude and Claude Giroux stepping up, they made it happen.
They really did. And you talked about Claude Giroux. In the second, he was able to put the Flyers on the board again to have the Pens only up by 1. And I thought in the second period, the Flyers overall were just dominating. The Penguins really, I wouldn't say they were on their heels, but it was just, this was exactly, like this period was exactly what I expected from the Flyers playing the Penguins. Like, the Flyers were keeping offensive zone time. You talked about the 4 lines. Avey was truly rolling his 4 lines, and you could see that they were getting waves and waves of chances.
Yeah, exactly. And it just felt like they were going to keep hammering at it until they tied this game up.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And so I wonder who, like, if anyone maybe, like, bet on the Flyers coming back down 3-0 so early in the first. And, you know, I need to go and check on Bet Online because they are the best place to bet anytime in any game. They're super easy and they have the fastest online selection to make your bets every night.
And, you know, football has been over for a little while, but there's so much other stuff going on. The NBA, college basketball, so many other sports. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, which is great if you're watching The Bachelor. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
Truly, you can bet on anything. BetOnline has news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. When you head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Flyers, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it has all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. So subscribe to Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Rachel. So you talk about Sean Couturier, Claude Giroux. I mean, they were truly the catalyst to start the comeback. And in the third, you know, I would put Brian Elliott in that category as well, because he made a couple of key saves in the third to keep the score what it was and to give the Flyers a chance to tie it up and ultimately take the lead. It was weird because there were moments in the third period where I thought the Flyers were getting to their game, but then there was also other moments where I thought the Penguins were just not giving the Flyers any type of traction, any type of offensive zone. And then lo and behold, Lawton, thank you to your pants. Please wear them again on Saturday. He ties it up. But off of a really good play by Travis Konecny, which I think, in my opinion, was the most important part here. Because, like I said earlier, TK hit a couple of posts. But he made a really good play here off of a, you know, he puts the puck in deep. Jari turns it over. And then Konecny passes to Giroux, who, of course, shoots it on net. It hits Lawton, and it goes in to tie up the game. But if Konecny can get going, that's like a very important part moving forward.
Those two posts, I felt so bad for him with that. He's been trying so hard, and I'm glad he's contributing in other ways besides putting it in the net himself, like that pass that you just mentioned, because I feel like you're right, he is so close to just going on a complete tear. And I think this will help him. This game in particular will help him move forward in that respect.
Yeah, I absolutely hope it does, because I know that he's kind of feeling it, the fact that he's not putting up the offensive numbers that he would want or we, you know, anyone is expecting of him. If this is a catalyst to him getting his confidence back, that only leads to better things for the Flyers. Because, I mean, the captain is already on fire. Couturier, I mean, is Couturier. And, you know, depending on how, like, what is going on with Farabee, you know, Konecny stepping up in Farabee's absence would be huge, especially if JVR can continue his play. And, you know, JVR didn't get on, didn't score last night, but I didn't think that I still thought that he was making plays, and I still thought that he looked good out there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's hard to judge this game because it was just so emotionally satisfying, I gotta say. I think there were some really good progress elements made. I think, well, first of all, the fact that AV took a timeout. Was a miracle.
I wasn't expecting him to, but the fact that he did surprised me, and I absolutely thought that was the right move.
I think that he did that. He allowed the team to calm down a little bit, but also like didn't panic, change up the lines or anything, and just gave his guys a chance to, you know, get their feet underneath them, and, you know, slowly but surely they got back into the game. So, you know, while there's obviously some choices that AV makes that confuse me or that I disagree with, you know, in this game, he was able to really manage this team back into it.
Yeah. Some other things that stood out to me in this game was Oscar Lindblom. He was definitely a quiet player on the ice, but I thought that he was starting to look more and more like himself, like especially just the little things that Oscar does, because he does all the little things and he does them well. I thought on the boards he looked more like himself, and that just bodes well that, you know, quietly him and TK, you know, making plays, getting back to their old self, only bodes well to see if they can, you know, continue or use that to help them produce offensively for the team.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, honestly, that line with Giroux and NAK helped Lindblom, like, shine and be able to do the things that he does best well in the context of that line. And, you know, NAK was doing his thing, too, there. And you know, can't hurt playing with Claude Giroux to get the best of your own play going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was good to see NAK back in the lineup. I know he was in the lineup because Farabee was out. But like you said, you thought that he would really help on the forecheck, and I thought he did just that. And like you said, it doesn't hurt to play with a Claude Giroux who was literally on a mission and succeeded.
I also did not expect, like, fourth line Nolan Patrick to be that much of a, like, fourth line grinder kind of player. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I felt like he was playing the role of NAK on the fourth line and doing it okay, pretty well, you know?
I mean, we talked about it. Nolan is a huge body, and when he plays physical, I can absolutely see him being that fourth line kind of NAK-ish player. And before, when AV met with the media before the game, he was saying that, you know, while he liked Patrick on the wing, he wanted to see more physicality. He wanted Nolan to be more physical and be more present in the game. And I thought that, you know, I don't know how much more physical he could be in a game. So it'll be interesting to see if on Saturday, AV sticks with the lines and sticks with Patrick there. Especially if, fingers crossed, Farabee is, like, off of COVID protocol.
Yeah, definitely some choices to be made, that's for sure.
Yeah. So one thing I noticed, and if I felt like if I noticed, it was, like, glaringly obvious. The reffing in last night's game just, I don't know, I felt like, there were some calls, there were definitely some missed calls. And I don't know if the power play was ever going to score again. I don't know if this would have helped the Flyers push them towards the comeback, but I definitely thought there were some opportunities where the Flyers deserved a power play.
Yeah, at some point, I think they just put the whistle away, and that was that. And there was definitely a trip. There was a high stick, potentially. So it's hard to tell what's going on with the refs these days.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just weird that they would put the whistle away, because it wasn't, like, in my opinion, it wasn't these calls being missed when they were tied. It was when the Flyers were down and there was plenty of game left. So, interesting thing to keep an eye out on, but I agree with you that who knows about NHL reffing. So, last time these two teams played each other, we had a few things to improve on. Defensive decisions was one of the things that we brought up. I thought that when you take out the first 4 minutes of the game, I thought that the Flyers were making better decisions. And some of that could be contributed to the fact that Ghost and Provy were separated. But I thought that the Flyers looked a lot better defensively in this game, if you take out the 4 minutes in the start.
Yeah, that's a big if, but I think so. Yeah, you know, obviously I still don't love Haig out there all the time, but I felt like the D did okay. I think they did, you know, and obviously it's partially because Sean Couturier was there, but I thought they did a pretty good job of shutting down Crosby.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like he had a huge presence in the game, except for at the very beginning and the very end. It was a serviceable defensive lineup, which is more than we get some games. So I'll take it.
Yeah, that's very true. Every Friday on Locked On NHL, join Joe DiBiase of Locked On Sabres and Tom Gazzola of Locked On Oilers as they round up the biggest stories of the week in the NHL. And get you prepared for the league's busy weekend with a slate of games. From breaking down the latest blockbuster trades to sizing up the rivalry matchups on Saturday night, Joe and Tom have every angle of the league covered to close out your week. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts. Next, we talked about special teams. So in this game, the power play went 1-for-2 and the penalty kill went 0-for-2. Or 2-for-2. Like, much better than last game. Still not, like, convinced that they're both, you know, on their way up. I think one of the best things about this game was the fact that the Flyers didn't take as many penalties as they normally would do against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal, right? That there was only two penalties on both sides. And so that wasn't really like a huge deciding factor in the game.
And so one thing I would add from last night's game is just better starts. We cannot have another start like we did last night on Saturday. I just felt like the Flyers just made it so much harder on themselves when they dig themselves a hole like that. I mean, like I said, it was some of the goals were a little fluky, but at the same time, like, you just have to be ready to start the game the right way, and you can't let yourself get down like that.
No, and the social media dunks are not worth it.
Not at all. Not at all. All right, Rachel, so before we get into our gritty thing of the week, we play the Penguins again on Saturday and the Caps on Sunday. Looking to these two matchups, I have a few questions for you. Knowing that the Flyers came out and won in regulation last night, do you stick with the same lineup, say, even if Farabee is available? Let's say he is available. Do you stick to the same lineup?
No, you absolutely put Farabee back in.
I know I'm throwing this at you, but is there a line you prefer him to be back with?
I mean, I prefer them to reunite that JVR Couturier Farabee line. I think that has worked really well, and it also doesn't break up this Giroux Lindblom NAK thing. If they want to give that another shot, I think you would break up Lawton Hayes TK is breakupable, if that's a word. And then you know, and I think you sit Bunneman. I think it's time.
Yeah. You know what, that's so weird, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, I definitely would put that top line back together. I'm interested to see more of the Lindblom, Giroux, NAK line. And then however he would want to do it with the other two lines, I would be fine with that. But I think Bunneman is the most likely person to sit, and I don't have any qualms of Bunneman sitting. My next question is, do you think Gustavsson will play this weekend?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, that's a weird thing to say, but I just feel like they need to sit Haig. They just need to sit him in this rotation. And with a back-to-back, I think that's a perfect opportunity to have him be the one that rests at least for one of the games. And it's time to see what the decor looks like without Robert Haig for a game.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise, I agree with you. Do you reunite Provy and Ghost for that then? And put, you know, maybe Myers and Gustavsson together and Braun and Sanheim back together?
I would do that, but I definitely do not think that that's what AV would do. Because again, AV does the opposite of what I think.
So, I was just thinking that. I was like,
You know, I prefer Sanheim and Myers together, and I didn't hate Provy Braun. I gotta say, Provorov has struggled a little bit this season, and it's taking Braun a little bit to get back into it after having been out. And I don't think it's a terrible pairing if these are your options to choose from, but I do like Provy Ghost. I just do. But yeah. I can see why he's choosing to go in this other direction. Just like, sit Haig, please.
Yeah, just to see what the defense would look like without him. Like, yeah. I mean, you could go right back to him if you want to sit him on Saturday and go back to him on Sunday. But just to see what this defensive core looks like without Haig, I would love to see it.
I mean, the best situation is to go out and trade for a top four D-man, Chuck.
But, yeah.
You know, I don't think that's going to happen in the next 2 days. So
no, I don't even think the D-man would get here in 2 days. So we'll definitely have to keep an eye out on that. I'm hoping that's on Chuck's agenda, but we'll have to see. Okay, so like I said at the start of the show, not a ton of gritty content this week. I mean, the Flyers were on the road the whole week, so we do have a little bit. But the first is welcome back, Grittisons. And this was just a compilation video of all the shenanigans Gritty did when, way back when, it seems like, we were able to go to hockey games. And it just, I forgot how funny Gritty is in arena. Like the cakes.
Yeah, with fans there.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot the cakes. Like putting on wigs, like slapping people in the face with pies. You know, spraying people with toilet paper, beating up like opposing fans. It was all staged, of course, but still funny nonetheless. Wow. I can't wait for the content when the Flyers are able to come home and Gritty can mess with fans.
Should be good.
Yeah, that video put a smile on my face. I forgot how much I missed it. All right. And next is manifesting a game tying goal. This I saved to my drafts because I know I'm going to use this over and over again. It's like a dark room and Gritty is lighting candles on the floor. And then all the candles are lit and then Gritty just looks up and there's like he turns on the lighter that he has. Which, honestly, kudos to whoever's in the Gritty suit for lighting candles with an actual lighter in a furry suit. That could easily catch on fire.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous there, but it worked. So
It did work. So, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saving this GIF because I know we're going to need it in the future. And it's good content. So not too much to pick from, Rachel. I mean, do you have a favorite? Is it enough to even ask you if you have a favorite?
I mean, I have to pick the manifesting the goal just because, like I said, it worked. And yeah. It, I would say an enhanced meme, I would call it.
Yeah.
Because it was like live action of the Twitter meme. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think I would have to go with Welcome Back because that video, I've watched it like 8 times now. And it's made me laugh every time I've watched it. Even though the manifesting the game tying goal, I mean, that's Gritty. Like Gritty gave some of his superpowers to Claude Giroux. You love to see best friends helping each other out. All right. So that is it for today's show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back again on Monday recapping Saturday and Sunday's games. And then, of course, we'll wrap up with our nemesis of the week. We always want to hear from you, and we have weekly mailbags. So if you have any questions about the Flyers, Phantoms, Gritty, life, you can send them in on Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam.
Thanks again for listening and have a great weekend.